How's everybody doing today? All right, so let's just take a minute and let's open up in prayer. All right. Dear God, I just thank you for today. Thank you for this conference that we have going on right now so that we can just realign ourselves with you. Lord, I pray that you would just touch the hearts of each one of the individuals in this room. Lord, I pray that not my words come through, but the words from you. And Lord, I pray that by the end of this, they can just see that there is peace and there is joy when they can trust you even through the hard times. In your name I pray. Amen. Okay. So, wow, it's a full room. So my name's Mark Carpenter. I guess, you know, if you're going to look at God and say, okay, whatever you want from me, you can have it. You better be very careful because God will get you out of your comfort zone. Because you could be sitting in Indianapolis, Indiana, talking to a group of people. So a little bit about me. I was married back in 2000, wife of 19 years, three kids. Hayden, my son, is 16. I have a 13-year-old daughter, Kendall, and I have an almost 10-year-old daughter, Kylie Ann. That's my family. So I love them more than anything in this world. So a little bit more about me. I was saved when I was 9 years old. All right. I didn't really grow up in a Christian home. My mom took my brother and I to church because my dad wasn't going to go. And she took us to church because we were such a handful. She didn't really know what to do with us. So I was saved when I was 9 years old, not because of what I wanted to do, because it was what all my friends were wanting to do. So, you know, kind of went along, had my salvation, got to high school, turned around, and I just completely turned my back on God. All right? I chased alcohol, I chased girls, and that went all the way through college, through the first couple of years that I'd gotten out of college. So, you know, I kind of hit a really dark time in my life then. Let's see. So, moved to Birmingham a couple of years out of college, took a job down there, and my granddad was in Birmingham, and he talked me into going to church with him. And that was when I really started to turn my life around a little bit. But, you know, as most people, we turn our lives around, but we're not quite ready to let go of everything. So I was still hanging on to a lot of the stuff that I had going on. So then keep moving on. 25 years old, I married my wife. So still doing the things that I was, had my mask on, trying to keep everything from her, trying to do things my way, and trying to make people think that I really was this other person. So it was a few years down the road after that. I was chasing the things of this world, had run up a lot of debt. I was hooked on pornography, trying to hide all of this from everybody that was around me, trying to do it on my own. All right. During this time, the stress of all of this, I wound up in the hospital with pancreatitis for 3 days. And then my wife found out everything when she started opening the mail about what was going on and what I was hiding from her. So when I got out of the hospital, I went home. And she gave me an ultimatum that you can either turn it around, you can get help, or we're going to leave. So that was the breaking point when I finally looked at God and said, I can't do this on my own. I've got to have your help. So I got in counseling and kind of just turned things around and started living for God. Okay. So, you know, I was moseying on along, right? trying to lead my family, do devotionals with my kids, just leading them along. But I wasn't really feeding myself like I should have. Until about 4 years ago, when the men's ministry at Shades Mountain started, we had a speaker come in, and his name was John Croyle. All right. So he made the comment, and he said, if I want to know what kind of man you are, I'm not going to ask your wife. She's going to want to know, or she's going to tell me what kind of man she wants you to be. His comment was, I'm going to ask your son, and he's going to tell me the truth. Well, I was sitting there, and I got thinking, would I be on the top of his list? And when I got thinking about it, I probably wouldn't have even been in the top 10 of the Christian guys that my son knew. So that's when I sat down and said, all right, God, it's time to take myself to the next level. All right. It's time to do things the way that you want me to do it. All right. And that's how I got to where I am today. All right. So everybody here should have a little handout with some scripture on it. Okay. You know, you've been to these breakout sessions and everybody's got PowerPoints and all that. Well, me, I have a lot of attention disorder, so I don't pay a whole lot of attention to the PowerPoint. So I just figure if you've got something to take home like that, it'll be a lot better than having something up on the screen. So that's why I did that. All right. So the first thing that I'm going to talk about is we're going to look at Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ our Lord. All right, Chad talked about it last night. When Adam and Eve ate of the apple, sin entered the world. Okay. Sin entered and everything changed from that. All right. Romans 3:23 says, for we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us has sinned. None of us can get to God because of that sin, because God is perfect and God can't be around sin. So we are separated from God because of that sin. All right, Romans 5:8. But God showed his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. All right. It goes back to Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. All right. For our sin, something had to die. He sent Jesus to this earth to die for that sin, to die for my sin and to die for your sin, so that we could have the opportunity to spend eternity in heaven with Christ. All right, and then Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he raised him from the dead, you will be saved. All right, we have to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And we have to ask him to come in and control our lives. Okay? I pray that everyone in this room has accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't, and you have any questions about it, find somebody to talk to, the leaders at Living Faith. Because if you haven't gotten to this point where you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, everything else that we're about to go through is not going to work. Because we have to have Jesus as our Lord and Savior before we can put our trust in him. So if you haven't gotten to that point, let's get to that point before we can move on. Or not before we can move on, but before we can get to the point of trust in him. All right. So, you know, as you saw in my testimony a little bit ago, there's been a lot of times that I've tried to do things in my own way. All right. And when I have done things my own way, I have really screwed it up. All right. I'm sure you're the same way. But when I've got my hands in it, I can put it in the ditch faster than anybody else. Right? So it's been over the last few years that I've had to go through hard times so that God could get me to the point where I am today. Right? All right. So how many of y'all know about the silver maker and how he makes silver? Do any of y'all know that? No. All right. So when the silver maker is making silver, all right, he melts it down and he turns up the heat. All right. And when he does, all of the impurities rise to the top, and then he scrapes those impurities off, and then he looks at it, and he turns the heat up just a little bit more. And when he does, the more impurities rise to the top, and he keeps doing this. All right. And then the silver maker knows when the silver is ready, all of the impurities are gone, and he can see his reflection in the silver. God does the same thing with us. He puts us through trials, and he puts us through tests so that he can sift the impurities out of us. And so he can see himself in us. So, you know, probably over the last 10 to 15 years, God has really been putting me through those trials. And I wouldn't be the man today if he hadn't put me through those trials. All right. So, all right. Like I told you, my wife and I were married in 2000. All right. So, those of y'all who are newlyweds, you know, you are broke at this time, right? So, in 2003, after several years of saving, we were able to buy our first home. Well, guess what? 3 days later, we found out she was pregnant with our son. So we had no idea how we were going to do any of it, because what we saved up for, this house was a dump. Okay? It needed a lot of work, and we had no money and a baby on the way. So we had to buy all this stuff. All right. So, you know, during this time, I was still learning how to trust God. All right. So we're praying, trying to figure out how we're going to do it, how we're going to take this house that has cat hair on the wall, cat hair in the cabinets. And it's just, it's nasty. How we're going to get it cleaned up, and how we're going to fix it to make it where it's livable for us, let alone a baby coming, with no money. Well, I can say that I watched people come around us during that time, that somebody gave us all of their leftover baby furniture so we didn't have to go out and buy it. We were given a refrigerator, and we were given a washer and dryer. And, you know, a lot of these times that I can look at it is I didn't realize God actually working during this time, even though I've been praying about it, until later on. All right. And then when we turn around, and I was preparing for this, God kind of gave me a verse, and that was Philippians 4, 6 through 7. And it's, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. So, while I was anxious about it, we were still praying about it, and God just miraculously took care of it. All right, so then we can skip ahead kind of a few years. All right. So my son was born in the middle of 2003. All right. When he was 6 years old, he was diagnosed with Perthes disease. So if you don't know what that is, the blood flow to his hip had stopped and the bones in his hip were starting to die. So once they get in there and get the blood flow going, you're looking at 2 years and a cast from about here to here where his body could heal himself. All right. Brent knows my son. He can't be still if I tied him to the bed. So we're trying to figure out how we're going to have a six-year-old and also a two- or a three-year-old little girl at the same time and keep him in a cast. So we start praying about it. And, you know, my wife has so much more faith for a longer period of time than I do. All right, I'm trying to figure out how I can fix it. But luckily, while we were going through all this, my wife was still praying for this. We went to the doctor a month later so the doctor could see how far it progressed. So they took the x-rays. They looked at the x-rays. She looked at this x-ray, and then she looked at this. And she goes, I don't see a trace of that Perthes disease in his hip right now. God took care of that without me having the kind of faith, but my wife having the faith that God would do it. Okay. During this time, he gave me Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. There is no way that you can look at an x-ray and show that his hip was dying and look at the next one and not even see a trace of it. That's only possible with God. All right, we could skip on down. We could skip several years ahead. And this is the time that, you know, I wanted to focus on just a little bit more. All right. This was in 2016. I was laid off from my job. Okay. I wasn't just laid off my job at a good time. Well, there's no good time to be laid off at your job. I was laid off the week before Thanksgiving. So, all right, I'm sitting here looking at it. The week before Thanksgiving, I'm going, nobody is going to hire me between Thanksgiving and Christmas, or even right after the first of the year. My wife, back in 2003 when my son was born, we decided that she would quit work and she would stay home with the kids. So I was the sole source of income. 18 years at a company, and I was laid off right before Thanksgiving. All right. My severance package was nothing. I got 2 weeks' pay for that. So, you know, it's one of those things where being the sole income of your family and being laid off right then, it's kind of demoralizing. All right. I can look at it. I felt worthless. And, you know, we kind of knew that it was coming because we saw it coming for several months. All right. My company just, we ran out of work. All right. And I was the last guy in my department laid off. So we knew it was coming, but it still didn't make it any easier. We had been putting everything that we could in the savings account just to try to make it. So, you know, I know for me, with having three kids at home, it gets kind of chaotic. So the only way that I can usually get away is to get out and cut grass. It gives me a chance to put my headphones in, just listen to things, spend time with God, and just clear my head. So, you know, I get laid off. My wife knew it was coming. We hadn't quite told the kids yet. I still didn't want to go home. I didn't want to have to stand there and look at my family and say, I lost my job, paying for the house, paying for other things are going to be more important than being able to provide a Christmas or anything like that. So I kind of just drove around for probably an hour, just praying that God would give me the strength to go home and tell my wife something she had already knew had happened. So I get home, we talk about it, we tell the kids we're going to have to cut back on a lot of things. So it's just the way it is. So we talk. A couple days later, I'm out cutting grass and, you know, watching all these guys go back and forth to work. It kind of just wears on you. So I was out there cutting grass, spent time with God, had my headphones in. The very first song that came on was the Corey Asbury Overwhelming Love of God. And as I'm listening to that, it hit me what that song really said. And the part that really got me was it said, when I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. I realized how much God loved me at that time and how he was going to have it, that I just broke down in the front yard. All right. I'm not a guy that's going to cry a whole lot, but I was sobbing in the front yard. But, you know, I knew God had a reason for it. All right. I didn't understand it at the time. I knew that he was going to take care of things. During this time that I was laid off, I got to watch the body of Christ come around me and wrap me. All right. I had a guy come up to me a couple days later, and I will never forget it because, you know, this guy's one of my closest friends right now, but at the time I didn't really know him. And he said, I know it's hard. He goes, I don't have a lot, but whatever I have, if you need it, let me know and I will give it to you. Some guy I didn't hardly know was trying to show me the love of Christ in that way. So, all right, as my wife and I are sitting there, like, I guess it was about a week later, we get a knock on the door. So we go open up the door, and there stands my Sunday school teacher. He said, I know things are hard. I know a lot of things are coming up. He goes, the Sunday school class got together, and we have taken up money, and we just hope that it helps. And I stand there floored that somebody would do that for us. Well, we get in, and we open up the envelope, and it's within $25 of covering my mortgage that month, the month of December. If you put your trust in God, he'll take care of you. Okay? So we're feeling good right then because the mortgage is taken care of. We're not going to have to wipe the savings out. So we're sitting there thinking, okay, the mortgage is taken care of. We can take a little bit of that and we can get Christmas presents for our kids. 3 days later, there was another knock on the door. Another family that we knew came to us with an envelope. We want to take care of your kids' Christmas this year. It was exactly the amount of money that we had spent on the kids the previous years. God's going to take care of you if you trust him. So, you know, I was out of work for 2.5 months. I didn't find another job until February. But you know what? God took care of all of our needs. My uncle called up and said, hey, I know a guy that's got a construction company. He's needing some help a few days a week. He wants you to come work for him for a little bit. So God took care of that. While I wasn't making what I was making before, it still helped put food on the table. My wife, she was an art major and hadn't been doing any kind of paintings for years, had four people come up to her and say, "Hey, I want to commission you to do us a painting." When I got my job in February, guess what? She never heard from anybody else. God got us through those difficult times. So I was laid off for 2.5 months. In February, I found another job. Right? It was work, but it wasn't the ideal situation. It was in Atlanta, and it was a contract job. So I would leave home Sunday night, and I would get home Friday night. This went on for 9 months. During this time, I had a lot of time to spend with God because I would go to work and then I was over there by myself. So I spent a lot of time praying. And it was hard on the family and it was hard on me, but I knew God had it and I knew God had a purpose. So for the 9 months that I was over there, I was spending time with God. Just, it gave me the time that I needed to get in there and dig in like I needed to, just me and God, to hash things out. All right, towards the end of the 9 months, or well, what was it, maybe 7.5, 8 months in it, I got a call from a company in Jacksonville, Florida. "Hey, we want you to come interview for a permanent job." Best news that I had gotten. Anyway, if I got this job, the whole family would have moved down there and we would have been together. Well, they flew me down. I interviewed with them. A couple weeks later, they flew my wife and I down there so that we could look at homes and look in the area. They flew me to another job site in Charleston, South Carolina to interview with them because I'd be doing some work for them also. So I'm praying about it. This really looked like it was about to be an answer to prayer and get my family back together. So I've been praying about it. I called my wife and said, I don't know what's going on. I feel like God's about to answer this prayer. And I feel like we're about to move to Jacksonville, Florida. 2 hours later, I got a phone call. "Hey, we hired the other guy that we were looking at." So here I am, away from my family, going to be stuck in Atlanta, going back and forth a little bit longer. So, you know, God and I had a serious heart-to-heart talk that night. I'm like, "Why would you carry me to this point and then rip it away from me?" And he's like, what he told me was, "I know it's hard, but you just got to trust me." 3 weeks later, I got a call from the company that had laid me off in Birmingham. "I want you to start in a week." Didn't have to move my family, didn't have to uproot them or anything. God had a better plan than me moving to Jacksonville and uprooting my family. So this was the time that I can look at it and say that I had truly sought after God, and I can see the way that He took care of me through the church and through other things. All right. So I moved back to Birmingham, and I've been back for, I guess, 2.5 years now. So God answered that prayer. You know, He didn't quite answer it the way I was hoping He would answer it, but He answered it in a great way, because during that time, we started home, well, I guess it was a little bit before that, we were homeschooling our kids. But if we had ripped them out of that environment, then I don't think my kids would be where they are today with the group of friends that they have. Because kids are mean, and they've got an amazing group of friends that build each other up. Okay, so while God answered this, He's not always going to answer things the way that we want to. All right. My wife and my son have something called dysautonomia. So it's an autoimmune disease where they get dehydrated real easy. They get fatigued. They get confused real easy. And then they pretty much just pass out. All right, they're in the bed for like 3 days. Well, we have been praying for years that God would heal them of this. So for some reason, God's answer to that has been no. But I've still got to trust him that even though he said no, that he is not going to heal them of this, that he's going to take care of it. And like I said before, my son is 16 years old. So he is behind the wheel of a car now. And when these things hit, it hits like that. So there's no way that under my power I can put him behind the wheel of a car knowing that he could pass out and get fatigued. But with God's power and knowing that God's got him here for a reason, I'm able to kind of just let go a little bit. So, like I said, I've tried things my way, and I can mess them up in a hurry. When you let God handle it, you've got just unbelievable experience from watching God take the body of Christ and use it like he wants to take care of each other. Right? So, and if I could encourage you anyway, is that I know the reason that you're in here is because life has just punched you in the gut. You have trouble trusting God during these times. I had trouble trusting God in these times. And I know that when you do trust him, it might not always work out the way that you want it to, but it's going to work out the way that he wants it to. And that's pursuing God, is that it says that if you pursue God, that he will give you the desires of your heart. Well, the desires of your heart that he gives you, he will change that desire of your heart, and it will fall more in line with him if you pursue him. So, just, I guess, the last couple of verses that I want to leave you with are Psalms 34:4. It said, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. I have fears of putting my son behind the wheel of a car, knowing he could pass out. And God has delivered me from that to where I can let him go. And then also Psalms 9:9-10. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. If you were truly seeking God, he is not going to let you go. He is going to be there for you. Like I said, it's not always going to look like you want it to look. But you will come out on the other side looking more like him. And that's our goal every day, is to seek God and be a reflection of him. All right, so that's what I've got. So
We'll kind of go into more of a Q&A time. If you have any questions for Mark, feel free to ask away. We've got about 15 or so minutes of that. So any questions for Mark?
Yeah, it could be anything. I don't have all the answers, but yes, ma'am.
So you talked about a lot of like big ways that God has shown up for you. Like, I'm just curious if you're willing to share any like small ways that you're like, oh, like I wasn't even really worried about that, but like God totally came through. Or even if you were worried about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, God shows up in ways all the time that I don't even think about. All right, I don't tend to worry about little things. It's the big things. But, you know, you can see God moving in small ways because, I mean, I will sit there and I will pray that, you know what, I said, all right, God, I've got this example coming up and I don't know what to do. Like, just a little while ago, I was offered a job in Mobile, Alabama. And, you know, I wasn't looking for it. Prayed about it, and God just said no. So I would assume that's one of the small ways. So the like looking for God in the small ways that I've shared a lot of really big things. So I know for me, I tend to pray about a lot of decisions that I would make, and you know, God answers those questions, and I honestly don't think about the smaller things like that. So, sorry I couldn't help more than that.
That's good. Thank you. I don't have any questions, but I just want to say thank you for being normal and for sharing.
You're welcome.
That's a lot of guts to play it all out there.
How is all the things that you've shared, Mark, like almost through the different steps, do you see it that God's preparing you? You're more solid, obviously, in your faith now. When something does come up, you feel more, I guess, by looking back and knowing He took care of you then, you feel more like when something comes up like Aiden driving, that you're like, God, I don't understand this. You haven't taken away, but I trust you.
Yeah.
Do you feel more, you feel like, I guess, as your faith grows more in Him?
Right. Yeah. As my faith grows more and more in Him, I do feel myself trusting Him more. All right. I'm a control freak, and I like to have control of everything, and this has been the hardest thing to give up. But as my faith has grown, I have been able to give it more to Him. And I don't kind of sweat things that are going on now like I used to, just because of what God's showing me, and because I do have that relationship with Him, and it is growing. Okay, so my living situation in Atlanta, all right. So when I took that job in Atlanta, it was contract. I knew it was going to be for like 6 months to a year. So as I'm getting ready to go over there and start looking for an apartment, I had a friend call me up, and he said, hey, I hear you're about to go to Atlanta to work. And he goes, I've got a camper that I don't ever use anymore that he used when he was traveling back and forth. And he said, if you just pay it off for me, he goes, I'll let you have it. Well, his payoff was about half of what this was worth. So I was able to get a camper and take it over to Atlanta, and I lived in it for $600 a month instead of having to pay $1,600 a month for an apartment. And that was not even furnished. And you would have to pay for power and everything else on top of that. That was just the apartment. Yes, ma'am.
Can you speak a little bit to, like, forgiveness when you still have, like, earthly consequences? So, like, dealing with, like, the debt, like, the bills are still coming. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, like, how do we, like, handle, like, walking in forgiveness when we're still, like, paying the earthly consequences of our sins?
So, you know, I guess like what you say is that for your sin, there's still consequences. All right. the consequences that I have. All right, for the longest time, I was paying the bills from all of the debt that I had racked up. So that was my consequence for that. But, you know, God took care of that also. And it took me going to Atlanta for him to take care of that. Because, you know, when I was over in Atlanta, I was getting a per diem on top of that. Well, whatever I made on top of that, I was able to pay off the debt. But, you know, our earthly decisions like that will have consequences. All right, but God will take care of that also.
Do you have any advice if you're not going through the hard things yourself, but you're trying to walk somebody else through how to walk through hard things? If you haven't done, if you're not good at it yourself?
Well, the best thing that you can do is just be there for them. All right, when they're struggling and they're going to want somebody to talk to, just be there to listen. Be there to encourage them. Point them to Scripture. Point them to God. That's the best way to get through it, is just to be there to listen. Because, you know, when they're going through these hard times, they are way down here. And to be there to build them up and show them the love that Christ has shown you is the advice that I can give you. Yeah, well, like I said, we knew it was coming a few months before it ever happened. Well, God had started preparing my heart for that long before I ever knew it was coming. And I started seeking Him during that time. And, you know, we knew that it was coming. All right, what God told us was to start putting as much money as you could up into savings. So we cut back our lifestyle. All right. I got paid really well, and we lived like I got paid really well. I had the desires of the world during that time, and God was changing my desires. All right, during this time, I lived in a 4,000 square foot house. God has changed that, and we've sold that house and are trying to take what we have and use it more for Him instead of using it for the earthly things. So God has used that a lot to pay, or not to change the way that I do things and the way that I seek Him. That answer your question? Well, yeah, you know, you struggle with the self-confidence at it and the past mistakes. All right, Brent back there is my accountability partner. And he has walked through a lot of this with me. And the way that I was able to get through that and forgive myself is when he looks at me and he speaks God's truth to me, that I am worth something and that everybody screws up. But with God, He can get you through it. So if you don't have somebody that's really close to you to talk to you with about that, I would encourage you to find somebody that you trust that's going to speak God's truth into you. All right. Also, my wife is really good about building others up. All right. She has the gift of encouragement that I just don't have. So having those people in your life that will speak the truth into you, but will also look at you and say, you're about to do something stupid. So you got to be willing to open up with that person. So I'm here. I'm an open book. You can come talk to me anytime. Like I said, I won't have all the answers, and I've messed it up more than I've got it right. But I am here to walk through it with you. So, thank you.